That was the source of the equipment. Now, what do we do for visually inspect it? Well, when do we visually inspect it? Before you use it.
Yeah, every time.
And every time means for the session.
Yes.
When you're going from participant to participant, if you have any doubt, of course, then check it out. Helmets definitely can be a problem. As I mentioned before, we have happy turtles, we've got dead turtles. When you're working with groups, make sure that you emphasize the importance of proper gear handling. Helmets need to be placed down. And here again, that general guideline of always keep in touch with what you're doing, who you're working with. This helmet, you're going to put it down, place it down. Harness, you're going to put that somewhere, place it. When you sling it, usually something bad's going to happen. You might get away with it, but over time, stupid's going to get back at you. So we're looking for fabric. Now, on a harness, there's a number of places that aren't related to life safety. Like for each one of the leg loops, there's a small strap that goes up through the waist loop and back down to the other leg loop. And the sole purpose is just keep it from falling down behind your knees. If that's frayed, not a big deal. But if the waist belt, or if the leg straps, or the straps between the waist and the legs, if they are frayed, now we have an issue. The stitching should always look uniformly colored. Come to think of it, I need to probably get an example of what stitching that has been exposed to acidic fumes looks like. The typical orangish thread, nylon thread, will absorb acidic fumes and turn brittle. There was a climber who had a catastrophic failure with his harness when it just came completely apart, and he was blaming the manufacturer. The manufacturer said, when you bought it, the stitching was orange. It's now pink. What did you do? Oh, just exposure to sun. Let me put it this way. Have you ever hauled muriatic acid in the same location where your harness was? Muriatic acid is a concrete cleaner. What that will do, it'll turn all the nylon brittle. It's amazing what that happens. But we don't want to ever see that on our equipment. Rope. Next time we're on a high element course over there, we'll show you how to inspect a rope. We're looking for uniformity. If it changes diameter, becomes egg-shaped midway, something happened. If it's easy to bend suddenly, that usually means that the interior has been disrupted and the mantle might be holding it together. We've got some examples of those too. But you rub your hands across it. And the other reason we do this is we want to make sure that it has not picked up any metal flakes, any metal shreds, or wood chips. So you look at it while you're doing it, you're feeling it, you're checking it, every inch of that rope. We do have a formal inspection every year, and there's an inventory done. As I mentioned, the Camp Snyder course and the Goshen course was inspected, and that material is in that binder or in the records book that we have at both locations. Each location has their own copy. We try and keep an up-to-date electronic version because the on-site copies have a tendency to disappear or get mislaid. Now, about marking, there is a special ink that is now available. Sharpie makes a particular pen for the purpose of marking. We have a number of our Petzl helmets that have been marked, and the inspector dinged us for it because Petzl does not want ink on their helmets. They say it reduces their strength, but it's up to the manufacturer as to what they will and will not allow. But this particular ink works well. We'll show that when you're out at the course. Hardware like carabiners, the hardware was designed to operate within that designed, manufactured with, so long as it's not been disrupted. So when you carve something on a carabiner, it's going to reduce the strength to some extent. And harnesses, you may notice on page 97, do not mark on the waist belt itself as the ink might affect the integrity of the harness. That again depends, but if regular standard old Sharpies, they have a tendency to interact with the nylon and the webbing. So there's a special one that you can use. But that, just look for it. Any piece of new hardware or harness will already be taken care of. We do have an inventory in the manual, in that binder in both places. So when you get a chance, check it out. Now, retiring equipment. We want to ensure that equipment is retired properly. So we want the responsibility of retiring to be at level 2 or above. Level 1 and above, if you see something that doesn't look right, take it out of service. Please do not retire it. The reason I say this is I remember getting called from two different groups running the Scouter horn. Each one had said there was a harness that was broken and they were going to retire it. I said, no, just mark it, put it aside, take it out of service, I'll take a look at it. These quick release harnesses run $80 to $95 each. So retiring it or replacing it is a rather substantial situation. When I found it, it turned out that what they were concerned about was the latches weren't closing. And the reason the latches weren't closing is they were dirty. So a little washing, a little tri-flow lubricant, and it worked better than the other ones. Helmets, retire by snipping edges with a cutter, then smashing and cutting out the webbing. Yeah, you could do that, but if you take the padding out of the helmet, you take the webbing off of the helmet, and you put a couple of chains on it, it makes a really nice plant hanger for your patio. If you flip it upside down, put it on a dowel that's got a light bulb on it, you have a nice little desk lamp. Looks kind of funky, this helmet that's glowing, but we've got a lot of gear that needs to be retired. What we need are a couple extra hands to convert it into something useful. And by useful, I mean the camp stores can sell it. Which brings us to ropes. Ropes, a good rope, a good climbing rope, does not have to cost more than $1 a foot. So suppose you took a 100-foot rope, cut it into 6-inch pieces, turned them into a keychain, and sold them for a buck each. You've now made double the price of that original rope. This is what some other councils will do with their retired gear. Now, for those of you who are into macrame or marlin spike seamanship, if you've looked at, say, for example, Raoul Gamon's book on decorative knotwork, you might have seen deck mats where it's a knot, a single knot, about 3 feet by 4 feet. That's my project for someday when I get around to it, because I've got a lot of rope that can be turned into that. And if anybody's interested in trying your hand at it, please let me know. We've got some craft material. The idea with retiring equipment is to make sure that it cannot be reused by anyone. Just putting it aside, it's going to possibly walk off.